This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, everybody. Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
Not too sure, Trey. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, June 29th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, that is certainly your responsibility. As I was driving to the stadium, I looked down at my dashboard, and it had three numbers on it.
Yeah.
And it said 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You see what's happening in Seattle?
Oh, how about Portland? I saw in Portland it was 115 yesterday. Not heat index, actual temperature.
It's so hot in Seattle that the highway is buckling.
Yeah.
The concrete is buckling under the stress of the heat.
I thought the high today was here. It was like 94.
Well, it said 100 on my car. I trust my car.
Yeah, but you're also in a metal box, Michael. They're known to get hot.
That is true.
Yeah, but
it
It doesn't take that into consideration.
Oh, sure it does.
I don't believe it does.
No, if your car's sitting in the sun, the temperature will be higher than if it's in the shade. Trust me. I drive all the time.
You do put a lot of miles on
Oh, I used to. Now I've got, you know, my man cave office here.
And then Which is finally complete.
You know, I might make myself a nice little cup of coffee during the break.
Wow.
How's that seat feel?
What's that?
How's the seat feel?
Oh, this seat is fantastic.
Well, Don, what was the actual date that you got the new chair?
It was Sunday.
Life changed on Sunday.
So a full March, April, May.
like 16 months.
Yeah, got it.
But at least it came. It's gorgeous. And the back is feeling great. I'm ready for a show, Michael.
All right, let's do it then.
Show me, Michael.
Let's start with the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. So the Yankees lose to the Angels. They've lost four in a row. And it's a bad sign when your manager said, you know, what was the line, do or die, something like that?
All the chips in.
No, he didn't say all the chips in.
No, he did not.
Let's win it or leave it?
No.
Love me or leave me alone?
What was it, Anthony? You remember. It wasn't do or die.
Do or die at Jays.
It was do or die. Season's on the line. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
Season's on the line.
So the season's on the line, and they don't play well. I mean, the Angel pitcher who started was, you know, blowing chunks on the back of the mound and had to leave the game in the second inning, so he's out. They bring in Jose Suarez, who shuts the Yankees down. The Yankees had a couple of home runs. They were both solo shots, so the Yankees, 66% of their home runs are solo shots. Only the Orioles are worse at 67%. And the Yankees, in the first two innings of the game, were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position and then didn't have another runner in scoring position. And they were greeted in the first inning by the magnificent Ohtani hitting a home run into the bleachers. He's amazing. And the Yankees ended up tying the game at 2, but then the Angels came back and DJ LeMahieu had a rare bad game defensively, and here we are. That's the deal. Here we are. But one thing jumped out at me that I want to play for you guys. This is Aaron Boone after the game. A game the Yankees lost 5-3. Here's Boone.
The compete and the intent and the focus of the guys today was excellent. I'll tell you that. So there's frustration when you don't go out and get a W, especially when you're getting punched in the mouth a little bit. And we all recognize where we are and how challenging this has all been. But as far as the guys and their focus and intent and compete today, no issue.
I'm sorry. I think everybody who listens to this show realizes how I feel about Aaron Boone. Every time I criticize him, I get a little sick to my stomach because I like the guy so much. That's a bad thing to say. You just lost a game. Your compete was great. Really? Are we celebrating over compete now? That's something that shouldn't be said. That should be something that's accepted. The fact that you have to bring it up sounds so bad. It's such a bad look. The compete was great today. Well, why shouldn't it be?
What does that even mean? Is it?
Yeah, they tried hard. Oh, they get a try hard trophy. They competed well today. I mean, come on. That should go without saying. The fact that he says it means that some days they don't compete.
Yeah. Michael, let's call it what it is. He's a player protector. That's what Boone is. That's why he was hired. He's a good guy. He's a good manager. I think he's a good baseball mind. But let's face it, when you hear comments like that, it's like, criticize anything, just protect these players at all costs. That's what it is. And that's what frustrates the fans, because it doesn't seem like there's ever anybody to blame. And when do the players get blamed? Is it okay? You can't even call out players anymore? You got to pretend, oh, they're looking good. The bats are coming around. I'm feeling it. I'm sensing, you know, you got a good at bat. You know, he's 0 for 8 with 8 strikeouts. But every at bat, Michael, it's getting better. You don't think that's frustrating the fans, that the players can't be touched?
It's terrible. Forget about being a players guy. We know he's a players manager. I get it. But to say that the compete was there when you just lost. You didn't get a runner in scoring position after the second inning. The compete was there, Aaron. That makes you look bad. And then, on top of that, I want you to hear what Giancarlo Stanton said. Here's Giancarlo Stanton after the game.
A lot of variables, a lot of factors that go into it. We just haven't showed up every night. You know, we'll have spurts of it, but, you know, this game, these seasons, this uniform isn't about spurts. It's, about showing up every night. So we just got to pick it up.
So the manager saying the compete is there. One of the star players is saying some nights we don't show up, which would indicate, since he said it at the end of yesterday's game, that they didn't show up yesterday. Now, I think it's one of the misnomers in sports, because of the fact that you sit back and you go, when a team doesn't score, they look like they're flat and that they didn't try. We see that in basketball all the time. And I think that's a real crutch that players use. But for a manager to say the compete was there, you're insulting the fan base. It's not about compete. It's about victories now. You either win or you lose. I don't care if the compete's there. To me, if the compete's there is not there 162 games, then somebody's got to go. That should not be something that's noted. Compete should not be noted. It should be a given. Like running hard to first base. It should not be something we celebrate. It should be a given. For Aaron to come out and say that, it's just such a bad look. Now, they lost a game. They lost a game. It looks bad because they lost 3 games against the Red Sox. So now it's a 4-game losing streak. I get it. But that was a game that they lost. I never even thought that they didn't compete. Why would you bring it up? It's a bad look for him. It's a bad look for him. I know he wants to protect his players, but that's the opposite of protecting your players. Because when you bring up that the compete is there, that
because
would stop. Lead you to believe
stop
that sometimes
saying the
not.
Compete is there. I need to stop saying that.
Well, I wish that he would.
We can't normalize that as a phrase. That has this weird baseball speak where they take a word and just use it in a way. They competed. That's what we're saying?
Yes.
The compete is there. It's nonsense.
It's a sports phrase, because the other way of saying it is where they say it in hockey, compete level. No, we got to have a higher compete level.
Oh my God.
No, the compete's given. You put on the uniform, you go out on the field, you're a professional, you get paid. The compete's given. You don't get a compliment for that. You know, no medals for trying, as Bill Parcells would say. Okay, it's about execution. It's about going out there and doing your job. And I understand it's a sport that you fail 70% of the time, but they're failing way more than that. It's called accountability. Holding your players accountable is the job of the manager. Not to win the press conference, protect the players at all costs, because now he ends up looking like a buffoon, Michael, and then eventually he'll end up losing his job. So I don't think there's anything wrong if you're the manager of a team, if you have the pulse of this team at your fingertips, to be able to say, hey, I thought this was an important week. We need to play better. We need to be better. And why can't you call the guys out? The only object, Michael, is don't say anything to the media that you didn't already say behind closed doors.
Yeah, I mean, we have no idea, Don, if he closed the door and was ripping into them. But to protect them publicly, and I think that when you rip players publicly, you're just throwing chum to the fans. The fans just want a piece of somebody's backside. That's what they want. So they just want that player to be embarrassed because they're upset because the team lost. I'm not saying that that's what Boone has to do. I'm not saying that. But there has to be some kind of come to Jesus moment where he's got to get their attention somehow. Again, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but even if he's screaming in there and they don't respond, that's not good. And you can't say, well, they lost to a good team. No. They lost to a team that's three games under 500. And I said before yesterday's game, don't be surprised if the Yankees take three out of four here. Doesn't mean they've turned it around. They should beat the Angels. Now they've lost the first one. To win three out of four, you have to win the next three. And by the way, Ohtani's pitching tomorrow. It's not what you want, as the old manager used to say.
But
please don't compliment that the guy a try-hard award. I mean, that Peter would love to have that, a try-hard award. Sorry. There's things that are not working here. There's things that are not working. Albert Einstein said it. If you do the same thing over and over and over again and expect the results to change, that's the definition of insanity. Let's make some moves. Now, a lot of people, I was listening to our station driving in, and there's a cut from yesterday. We go, well, I don't know what the move would be. You know, that's above my pay grade. And I said, you know, that's a cop-out. Here's what the move should be. People should be sent down to the minors that are not performing. Hoy Park should be brought up. Floreal should be brought up. There has to be a shakeup to get somebody's attention. The manager coming out after the game and saying, the try-hard is good, that's not good enough. That's not getting anybody's attention. People have to be benched, and it's hard to bench people. Who are they putting on? Who are they putting in there? But there are people that are not doing the job. So when you don't do the job, you have to change things up. You know, Andrew was talking to me before the game or before the show, and he's dead right. Everybody, every expert out there said the Yankees were going to meet the Dodgers in the World Series. That was it. That was just not even thought about. So did we get it all wrong? Or is this team not performing? Well, I will say I don't think we got it wrong. This team's not performing. This team is not performing anywhere close to the way they're supposed to perform. We can go around the diamond. Gleyber Torres is a shell of himself. A shell of himself. How do you go for a guy who had 38 home runs one year to have 14 games without a ribby? You can't even get a ground ball ribby. And he's striking out 50% of the time. Now, you could strike out 50% of the time in this day and age if you can hit the ball over the wall. Gleyber's not doing that. And his exit velocity is lower than it's ever been in his career. I don't know what's up. DJ LeMahieu, he's starting to turn on a little bit, but take a look at his numbers compared to the numbers the last 2 years. Not even close. Not even close. Clint Frazier pinch hit yesterday. Struck out on three changeups. Looked overmatched on three changeups. Overmatched. Brett Gardner's hitting under 200. And Duhar's not producing. He's getting hits, but he's not driving in runs. And once again, the Yankees had runners on second and third in the first inning yesterday. What happened? Nothing. Not a hit. The only run they got in was Gary Sanchez with a ground ball to third. That's it. 0-for-3 in the first inning with runners in scoring position. That's when you break it up. That's when you take a bad team like the Angels, put your foot on the throat, score four runs, and the game is over. They're not doing it. There must be changes. You have to bring somebody up from the minor leagues. You've got to get this roster's attention.
But you're asking them to hold players accountable, and they don't seem to have a history of doing that. But not when your manager talks like that after a game.
Don, it's not working.
Well, I know it's not working.
What they're doing is not working.
All right, well, the big statement yesterday about how big this week is, you lose the first game, and the instinct of the manager is to protect the player and complement the compete level. So where is the accountability? How about ripping into an occasional player? Is that okay? Criticizing an occasional player. Sitting a player down because he's not working. Why are you sitting him down? I'm sitting him down because he's 4 for his last 51. That's why I'm sitting him down. No, you sit guys down because the analytics tell you it's time for him to sit down because he's played 3 straight days and, you know, ups and all the other garbage that they throw out there. That's why they bench players, not because they're ineffective, because God forbid if you insult a player. Well, I will start holding them accountable, guys. That's all any fan asks of. Is hold you accountable. If you're not hitting, sit. It's okay to be critical. I'm not saying you got to go and tear a player a new one every time he strikes out.
No, we don't have to know about it. Just sit him, like you said. Just sit them.
But, you know, Parcells used to say it all the time, too. You know, sometimes behind closed doors isn't enough. Sometimes you've got to air it out publicly. Because sometimes that's how players respond. Because if it's not public, they think everything's private and it's okay. Every once in a while, you get asked a question, what do you think about Gleyber Torres? You know what? I think Gleyber's really struggling right now. and he's got to be better. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, that's the part that I don't understand. Is like, why is this sport? I mean, I don't know. I feel like in other sports that you will hear, at least certainly in football, but even in basketball, some you'll hear coaches say, "Yeah, so and so hasn't been shooting the ball well recently. We got to blah blah blah." It's like on this team, it's a bad word to even imply. It's like the directive for Aaron Boone is you can talk, but you have to spin everything to make every player feel okay.
Peter, people don't realize this. People want to say the reasons that they let Girardi go, and there are several reasons. One of them was when he criticized Gary Sanchez. He had the nerve to criticize Gary Sanchez publicly in Cleveland. That was the beginning of the end for him. And it's not just the Yankees. It seems like everybody thinks you have to be warm and cuddly with your players. You have to be friendly with your players. You have to relate to your players. They don't think discipline works. I believe it does, because there has to be something negative to go along with negative results. Because if you continue to coddle players, what is their fear level? Do they fear anybody? Does anybody in that clubhouse fear anybody? Do they fear anybody? Because they know everything the team does is to go out of the way to make all of them feel comfortable. Well, their comfortability, dating back to the beginning of last year, has resulted in a team that right now is on pace to win 84 games. It's not working. You've got to have some fear level.
See, that's
You've got
thing.
To fear the people in charge, that if we're not going to do the job, they're going to send our ass to Scranton. That's the fear they need.
And you're just trying to elicit a response, right? That's what you're trying to get, is the response. So I can understand you coddling players. If you go out there and you win 100 games every year and win championships, hey, that works for you. This clearly doesn't work. Right, and also, Michael, you would know better than me. You know, at least before the pandemic, you were around a lot of these players. There seems to be evidence that maybe Sanchez is a bit sensitive, but I don't get that from the rest of the roster. Do you? I mean, you just saw whether you like him or not. What the highest paid player on the team, Stan, had no problem ripping the players.
Second highest after Cole.
All right, but an everyday player, he had no problem calling him out, and he's in that room. He knows what players can take and what they can't take. So you got to walk around eggshells, and for what? To be two games above 500? If this team had 50, 60 wins, Michael, I'd say, all right, well, listen, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the best out of your players. But you're coddling players that haven't won a championship since 2009 that are two games above 500?
It's really hard to believe that there are no ramifications for them playing like this. What are the ramifications? Who's been punished? Who's been sent down? Who's been sat? What are ramifications? I want to know. There are people that are simply not performing, and you continue to run them out there. Now, I know that the answer would be either these guys are going to do it or it's not going to get done. Okay, then we just admit that it's over. But when you've got corner outfielders hitting 170, looking lost at the plate, you've got a shortstop who I happen to like, and I don't think his defense has been the problem this year. Everybody else thinks it is. I don't. I think his defense has been fine, other than the first month of the season. He's lost. So you keep sending the same lineup out there, and you expect the results to change. Well, let's see if it does. Let's see if it does. It hasn't so far. Again, dating back to the beginning of last year. So were we wrong in our evaluation of the team, or is the team not playing well? I think the team's not playing well. I think the team's not playing anywhere close to the way they should be playing. Yeah. The runners in scoring position number is the one we should all look at. They can't hit with runners on base. And the only way they can score is via the home run. And every home run they hit, well, 66% of them, is a solo shot. That's not going to get it done. They've got to learn to hit with runners in scoring position.
It's not about what it's supposed to be. It's about what it is. I know you built this team to be something. I know you believe it should be something, but it's not. You got to react to what you are right now. I go on paper, they're supposed to be better. I know that every theorem out there had them better. The Pacoda had them better. ESPN.com before the season started had them better. But right now, you're 78 games into the season, almost halfway through, and you're two games above 500. Then that's what you are. Your projections were wrong. Doesn't matter how many other people felt that way. Doesn't matter. You know, Vegas got it wrong with the Knicks last year, right?
Yep.
Sometimes you get it all wrong. And now you got to evaluate, all right, what are you? Forget about what the predictions were, what you thought they were. 78 games is more than enough of a sample size. And Michael brought it up yesterday. Go back to the last 138 games. What are they? A slightly above average team. So at what point do you just say, we got it wrong? This is what we are. We paid for this. We expected this. We thought this, but this is what it is. I thought the house was going to stand. It fell. I thought the car was going to start. It didn't. What's the reality? What are you right now?
They're hitting 205 with runners in scoring position and two outs. They're hitting which is 23rd in baseball. They're hitting 217 overall with runners in scoring position, and that's 29th in baseball. Not good enough. If you can't hit with runners in scoring position, you know what? You can't score runs. You keep sitting there waiting for the three-run home run. It's not happening. So how about a single to the right side? I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but they've got to be better than this. Their lack of production is startling. This roster should not be this desperate to score runs. We all thought the pitching was going to be the problem. It's not. The pitching has not been good of late, but overall the pitching is not the problem. The problem is the offense. Now, they don't play great defense. They don't run the bases well. The problem is they do not get hits with runners in scoring position. You could say they're hitting bad luck, whatever the case. I understand all of those advanced metrics. You know, they're probably hitting lower than what they should. All I know is what's happening on the field. They're not scoring runs. Second and third, nobody out in the first inning, you scored one run. That's not good enough.
Right.
This is the Angels. This is not the Red Sox. It's not the Rays. It's not the White Sox, who you happen to have swept. These are the Angels. You should be able to handle the Angels.
And Michael, and it's not like you had an ace. Dylan Bundy was puking his brains out in the second inning. You were in their bullpen in the second inning.
And their bullpen is terrible.
So,
and by the way, did you see the end of the game? Iglesias made them look like little leaguers. They had no chance. And they were only down two runs. They had no chance. I'm at a loss of words, which is tough when you do a 4.5-hour show, but I'm at a loss. I mean, when the manager says, we were trying hard, not good enough. That's not the thing to say. Not the thing to say. That's a given. That's not the thing to say. There has to be fear. Fear is a ramification of an act. There's no ramification for these players. Hit 180, you're still here. Well, you might not start a lot, but you're still here. Throw to the wrong base, don't worry about it. There's nobody being pulled out of the lineup or sent down to Scranton. You keep going back and forth Scranton with relief pitchers. But where is the Scranton Express when you're not performing? Now, I know they don't have a lot of position players that are on the 40. Well, make it work. Bring up Florial. How's Florial, who's a left-handed batter? Now, he's been hitting since the middle of June okay. Maybe the first week of June. His numbers overall are not great. We know that he can play center field. And he's a left-handed bat. Why not even give him a shot? Because when you move Aaron Judge to center field, you're weakening the whole outfield defense. You just are. Hoy Park putting up unbelievable numbers. Not on the 40, unbelievable numbers. Make it work. Derek Dietrich, the last month, unbelievable numbers. A major leaguer who's been playing in the minors, waiting to come back up here. They need some kind of a jolt, something to wake them up. If you keep waiting, it's like waiting for Godot. Not happening. That's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. All right, we have a lot to do. A lot of people want to talk to us. We'll get to you. We'll try to get you on the K-Couch, see if we could talk you off the ledge. I'm not sure if we can. I don't know if we have the words today. I'm on the ledge.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking off the ledge.
Well, you could be there. You're the one who doesn't want a try-hard award, so you're the guy, Peter.
I'll help him. I'll just tell him to relax. Who cares?
And you are very familiar with these couches from what you tell us, so.
Well, A, I'm familiar with all therapy couches, and B, I know what it's like to root for a bad sports organization, so I'll be a help to everyone.
That's beautiful. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, I feel what you're saying.
That's why I'm here.
Is this off the album, Peter?
Oh, that's right.
Who is this?
What a beautiful song. This is my good friend, Homeboy Sandman.
Is that his real name?
His real name is Angel.
Okay.
So no,
should
Homeboy
Sandman. Angel?
No, I think it's just Angel.
Really? Interesting.
But you do you actually believe that his birth certificate said Homeboy Sandman?
I don't know. I always get lost with these names.
No, I know. It's hard for you.
Yeah.
But that is on the album. It's a terrific song. It's called Deer. I really love it.
Deer as in the animal or deer like D-E-A-R?
Deer, D-E-A-R, not the animal. Okay. It's not a song about deer.
Didn't sound like it. It really had to have taken a turn from what we heard.
Right. All of a sudden, he just starts finding his way. And would it be like a love song for deer?
Yeah. Hey, Bambi. Stuff like that.
Antlers, I'm stuck in the headlight. Antlers, I'm stuck in the headlight. Running across the street now. Running across the street now. Antlers.
Now, are you basing that on something, Don, or do you just make that up right now?
I just made that up.
Wow. You give the guy a coffee machine. He's wired, you know?
Oh, my God. That was something right there.
Caffeine on call.
Antlers, parentheses, stuck in the headlight is a sick.
Wow. There's something there. Right? I mean, you could work with it as a producer.
No, no.
Enough there, right?
I'm going to send this over to some writers.
Yep. Antlers stuck in the headlight. Let's go to the phones. Manny in White Plains. Manny, start it off.
Hey, guys. You guys are right on the money today. I was just curious what your thoughts are in terms of other examples of great players like Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins. He was up, down, and once he got his head right, or whatever they need to fix, he's a great star when he's healthy. He's a great star, but like for some reason, it seems like this team, they don't want to send anybody down, and they don't want to make any radical adjustments or anything like that. But unfortunately, it's going to be a tough go because there's no trade value out there. They even did with Chad Green. They sent him down and get his arm right. I just don't know why they don't do it.
And here's the reason they don't do it, Manny, I think, okay? They've got pitchers on the 40. So they could send somebody down and bring somebody up. They don't have position players on the 40 other than Floreal. But that's where Brian and his crew have to be created. Get Trey Ambergy on the 40. Get Hoy Park on the 40. Get Derek Dietrich on the 40. There has to be something, even if it's an optic move. Wake them up. If you make a move where you send down somebody who considers themselves a regular, a major leaguer, that's going to get the attention of everybody. That no job is safe. You can't continue to not produce and wear a major league uniform. And we're almost in July. Half the season is over. Patience is now in the rearview mirror. Now you have to be proactive. I know they're working the phones and they're trying to make trades. It's hard to make trades, although the Marlins just made a trade today with the Toronto Blue Jays. So the Marlins are open for business. Make a run at Starling Marte. Let's see. But they've got to do something. Running the same lineup out there and letting them not produce is not the answer. There has to be fear inflicted on these players, and I think fear does get results sometimes. Well, there's no fear. There's no fear.
Fear seems strong because we live in the 21st century, Michael. The players have a lot of power. But I don't think there's anything wrong with the word accountability. Just be held accountable. If you don't play well, all I'm doing is I'm holding the players accountable for what I expect them to be able to do. Play to the back of your baseball card, we always say. Just play.
But you know what's interesting, Don? There are certain players on this team that have an incredible force field around them. Gary Sanchez was embarrassed earlier this year. He wasn't producing. You know what? He lost part of his job.
Right.
And what happened? He responded. But nobody else seems to get that same treatment that Gary Sanchez gets. Gary Sanchez could be embarrassed and lose part of his job to Kyle Higashioka. Who else is getting embarrassed?
Well, Frazier, I guess, has. There are a couple of guys they don't have a problem messing with, although I don't think they messed with Sanchez right away. I think it just got to the point where they had to do something. They showed way more patience than they should have with Sanchez, and then eventually they did it. Frazier, they seemed to pick on a little bit, but otherwise,
Frazier was given the left field starting job, and 3 days in, they took it away from him. Now, I'm not running any telethon for Frazier because he has not produced when he's had the opportunity, but he didn't get any kind of role at all at the beginning of the year. They took him out right away. He was the starting left fielder, and then he lost part of his job to Brett Gardner in an eye blink. But nobody else has those ramifications.
So how much of this is ego, Michael? Because when I see lack of changes, when I see a general manager in an organization kind of look at itself and everything's going to be fine, how much of that is the arrogance of, hey, I built this and I know it's going to work. And if I start making changes, then it's kind of an admission that I didn't build it correctly. So I'm going to just stick with it, arrogantly just believe that it's going to turn itself around. Is that part of it? Because these are smart people, Michael, honestly. I mean, you could say what you want about Brian Cashman. Maybe his time is coming to an end here. But the guy knows baseball. If we can think of things, I'm sure he can. Is it arrogance? Is it ego that's not allowing him to do it?
I think there's a delicate balance because they don't want to devalue people. And if you send somebody down, all of a sudden their value is going to sink. I think that that's a big part of it as well, and they are trying to make trades right now. Something has to give. You can't keep running the same lineup that's not hitting with runners in scoring position. You can't.
You know, I fought you on this for a long time, Michael. In order to win championships, you got to win the one championship. But I'm coming around on that, Michael, because think of the arrogance of that. So you want to build championships. Can you finish above 500 first? Right? I mean, think about that arrogant statement of, we're going to make decisions based on not just trying to win this year. We want to try to build something. Well, what are you building? You're building a team that's getting worse. It's not getting better. They didn't get better from last year. And Michael, the 60-game season saved them last year. I think all of this would have happened last year if they played 162.
I don't know. I think the 60
game. Would they finish 6 over?
Yeah, but 162-game season also would have hurt Tampa Bay. All right, pitching went south.
Forget about everybody else, okay? Because maybe it would have been enough. Maybe they would be like the Mets and win a division where everybody else stinks because Boston still was Boston, and maybe the Rays would have been exposed and the Blue Jays wouldn't have been there, and they would have made the playoffs as an 85-win team. But this hitting with runners in scoring position, we all assumed when the Yankees were struggling, there were times we had this conversation last year. And we excused everything with, well, it's a short season. Everything now is amped up because it's all going to be over in 60 games. Assuming they would have been better over 162. Maybe they wouldn't have. Maybe it would have been enough to make the playoffs. And it still might be enough to make the playoffs this year. But ultimately, are they getting better or getting worse? Are they building towards a dynasty again? The way Brian Cashman told us, I want to win championships. Are they building towards that or are they regressing? Where every year it seems like they're a little bit less than what they were. They're trending down. They think they've got a top one. They think they got a number one in the top 40. They're falling out of the top 40. Right now is going to be in the discount bin.
Let's go to Nick in Westchester. Nick.
Hello, gentlemen. Hope everyone's trying to stay cool in this insanely hot weather. But given the conversations today, I don't know if that's going to be possible. You know, Don, you were just saying it before. Brian Cashman, we know, is one of the most talented, if not one of the best GMs in baseball. But the litmus test for his leadership is going to be him recognizing that he needs to readjust the plan and the strategy they've been implementing for the last few seasons, or beyond that, since 2015, since 2016. And right now, they aren't doing anything even close to even acknowledging that there's a problem with the plan. It's not working. It's a whole system issue that needs to be audited. It's not one player. It's not one hitting coach or a manager or even just solely on Brian Cashman. It's the whole thing is not working together. And when it doesn't all work together, the thing falls apart. They need to completely review the playbook, and that's regardless if they're able to crawl into the playoffs or if they don't make the playoffs. They can't crawl into the playoffs, win a wild card game, then get slapped in the ALDS, and then walk away and go, oh, we made it to the playoffs. It's okay. Because that's how we've been, like, conditioned at this point. It's crazy. You can't think that way, Michael.
Well, I don't know what they're doing behind closed doors. I mean, there's certainly Nick not going to come forward and say, you know what, this is a failure. They're not going to say that publicly. They've got to do things. They might be admitting that behind closed doors. Again, a good organization does not make every single one of their moves public. I think it's contrary to do that. So I get what they're doing, but I hope that they don't say, well, let's just stand pat with this because it's going to work. It's not working. It hasn't worked for 138 games now. That's almost a season. That's 24 games away from a full season. I think that's a good, solid cross-section. I really do.
Oh, there's more than enough sample size here. Cohn said it over the weekend. This is not a slump. This is what they are. He said it with 77 games, now 78. This is what they are. You'd be foolish to think it's just all of a sudden going to turn around now. They're going to go back to where they were. I think there's too much of a sample to say. You want to talk about analytics. Doesn't the analytics tell you there's enough of a sample size that this is not working? Ask the nerds that. You go by sample size. You go by numbers. At what point do you say, all right, there's a sample size here that tells us that this is not working?
It's weird. It's weird what's happening. It's something that I never expected. I'm sure they never expected. So 1-800-919-3776 is the number. Andrew, I've got to ask you one thing. I was looking forward to good old Morty from Plainview, and then he hung up.
Oh, no.
What happened?
I don't know. Only he can answer that.
You think he just lost patience?
I could see that happening. He doesn't strike me as a very patient person.
Was he on a cell?
Stinks.
I don't think it was a cell.
It's ridiculous.
What do you suggest?
Call back.
We know what he was going to say.
Yeah, but I like to hear Morty. I like
America.
His voice. I like the cut of his jib.
I mean,
that's what life is all about.
See? It's true. I love him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Another nice shirt for you today, Peter.
You like this? I don't know if I love
pocket?
It.
What's in your pocket?
Is there a pocket? Oh, there is a pocket.
There is a pocket, yeah.
Policy still in place, Michael?
My dad used to have like shirts like that and a pack of cigarettes in that pocket.
Well,
Pall Mall, Camel.
That's what this. I feel like that's what this pocket's for.
Yeah.
Your father laughed at filters. Laughed at him.
Oh, I've never, the man had emphysema. Never saw him with a filtered cigarette. Ever. That's why I've never touched a cigarette.
No filter?
No.
His
son doesn't have a filter either.
What does the back of a cigarette even look like with no filter? It just looks like a joint?
Looks like the front.
there's no front or back. The only way you tell front or back is like the name of the cigarette is printed near the front.
I never met the man, but I think he went through life without filters as well.
Dad? Sounds that way.
Yeah.
Charles Arthur Kay?
Yes.
You got that right. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. We'll come back. Hopefully Morty will as well. A lot of people on hold. We'll get to you. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Antlers, I'm stuck in the headlight.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
One thing jumped out at me that I want to play for you guys. This is Aaron Boone after the game. A game the Yankees lost 5-3.
The compete and the intent and the focus of the guys today was excellent. I'll tell you that. But as far as the guys and their focus and intent and compete today, no issue.
I'm sorry. I think everybody who listens to this show realizes how I feel about Aaron Boone. That's a bad thing to say. You just lost a game. Your compete was great. Really? Are we celebrating over compete now? That's something that shouldn't be said. That should be something that's accepted. The fact that you have to bring it up sounds so bad. The compete was great today. Well, why shouldn't it be?
What does that even mean?
They tried hard. Oh, they get a try hard trophy. They competed well today. I mean, come on.
The Michael Kay Show.
The compete is there. That would
stop.
Lead you to believe
stop
that
saying the compete
not.
Is there. I need you to stop saying that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Peter's much more aggressive with me than he was before my misstep yesterday.
Oh,
I think this has really hurt our relationship.
No,
it has.
I just don't like that we give these weird baseball speak things like any sort of credence, like that's a normal way to talk. The compete
Well, I mean,
was
you heard what Tom Brady said, right? Did you hear what Tom Brady said yesterday? I guess he was on the LeBron, what's it called, barbershop?
The shop, yeah.
Yeah, the shop. He just said 90% of the stuff I say, it's all lies. And we like hang on their every word. It's all lies. He said, I'll say, yeah, they got a great corner. He goes, and I know that I'm going to work that bleeper over and over. He's so bad. They lie. And we expect the truth. Don's always said guests are whack because they're not going to tell the truth.
Well, that's why we have to spend time, much to the chagrin, I think, of some listeners who think, well, why do you dissect everything they say? Because they're not telling the full truth, and that's why you have to read between the lines, because they're giving you coach speak or they're giving you player speak. So you got to read between the lines. That's where the truth lies.
And also, I mean, it does tell you one thing, and I like the guy. Brady's a colossal phony then.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because he's not retired, so he's going to do that exact thing, Peter. Week one.
Right.
Of course. No,
their corners are really – because he gave you the formula. But he doesn't care.
Let's talk about the Mets a little bit. I actually think that there's some trouble ahead. I mean, we don't know when they're going to get back Syndergaard or Carrasco. Carrasco's still not off the top of the mound yet. So I think it's a long time before they get back. Their offense is troubling. And don't look now, but the Nationals are really playing well, and nobody can get Kyle Schwarber out. So the Nationals have closed the gap. The Mets have stopped scoring runs. What was the stat yesterday? The last 13 games, 2.2 runs per game. That's going to come up and get you. Now, Stroman's a good pitcher. DeGrom's a good pitcher. Walker's done a much better job than any of us thought he was going to do. But 4-5 is a black hole. I mean, okay, it's great to have three good pitchers, you know, one otherworldly and two good ones, but they got to make it up as they go along. Jared Eichhoff, the kid that's pitching today, they're making it up as they go along. After a while, it's going to catch you. It is actually going to catch you, and if they don't score runs, you're even putting pressure on a guy like DeGrom, who has a .6 ERA. I think sooner or later, they're going to run into problems, Don, unless they pick it up offensively. It can't be ignored. I know they're in first place, but right. I look at it, and this is not a knock on the Mets. They're not a great team. They're in a bad division where the teams have not played well. If they were in a good division, they would not be in first place.
Well, it's a fact.
And there's not going to be a wild card coming out of the East. The two wild cards coming out of the West. It's going to be the Giants and the Padres.
They're six games above .500. All right, so that's not that great. It's just that they have a three-game lead in the division because the second-place team's at .500 and everybody else is under .500. They now have a worse run differential than the Marlins. They're at plus +15. The Marlins are at plus +17, and they're in last place. If the Mets were in the Central, they wouldn't be in first place. If the Mets were in the West, Michael, they'd be in fourth. You know, you look at the Yankees division, they would be ahead of the Yankees, and they'd be in third place. They'd be ahead of Toronto, too. Couple of games ahead of Toronto. Now, it doesn't come without reasons or excuses, okay? Number one, they haven't been healthy for a while. They're getting healthier. But this is kind of it for a while, right? Because Conforto is back. McNeil is back. Davis isn't coming back. He's on the 60-day DL. So this is kind of what they're going to be offensively for a while unless they make a deal. But a lot of their record has to do with the fact that they've had a lot of injuries. And also, all these makeups for the COVID with Washington and the rainouts in Colorado and all that, Michael, that's why they don't have as many off days and they had to play so many doubleheaders, which really exposed their pitching because they've got to pitch guys that we've never even heard of before because of the way the schedule's been set up. So now they've made up most of the games. They're getting healthier. So we'll get a chance to really see. And it begins tonight against the Brave team. We're still waiting to see if it's going to pop. But, yeah, there's some concerns, Michael, because I think that the division they're in and the fact the Yankees have really struggled have kind of let us lay off the Mets a little bit. But this offense has been god-awful, and I don't know how it's going to get any better with the current personnel because pretty much everybody's healthy, right? The only one I think we're waiting on is now Davis.
No, and Nimmo.
And Nimmo. Okay, yeah, that's right. So Nimmo, but you know, again, these aren't.
Although,
you know,
Pilar's done a good job.
Pilar's done a very good. That's what makes it easy to kind of forgive that. But you know, again, we're not waiting for Hank Aaron to come back either. You know, so I think they're limited offensively right now, and they've gotten exposed with their pitching because of all the doubleheaders that they've had. So I think it will get a little bit better. But you're right, Washington's starting to figure it out. They're back to .500. And they're going to be taking on a good Giant team this week, so we'll see if the Giants can give the Mets a bit of a break. But hey, if you're not careful, Michael, this lead, which at one time was the biggest lead of any division winner, is now down to just three.
And
now,
do
yes,
you really
showing the stat. You got a .202 batting average, Michael, over the last 14 games.
And they're also starting to play a little sloppy, too. 8 errors the last 4 games, mm-hmm. 3 errors last night at the Nationals. So it's going to bite you. If you score 2.4 runs per game, which they've done over the last 14 games, that's where they're 5-9. So even if your pitching is great, scoring 2.4 runs, if your starter gives up 3 runs in 7 innings, you're going to lose the game. So after a while, something's going to crack. So I'd be a little bit concerned unless they start to pick it up. I think that they deserved all the kudos for surviving the injuries and being spunky and gritty and all that. And they benefited from being in a really bad division. And they're still in a really bad division. But if you're a Met fan tonight, you really think they're going to score a lot of runs off Charlie Morton? Charlie Morton has really turned his season around. He had a rough start with the Braves, but now he's back to being Charlie Morton. You really like their chances against Charlie Morton?
Sorry, I said Giants. They've got a tough schedule. They go out to the West Coast, or they take on West Coast. They got the Dodgers coming up after they finish up with the Rays. So the Nationals do have a tough schedule. Rays, the Dodgers. So they've got some tough games coming up still. But they got to take care of the Braves. Otherwise, you can bring the Braves back into this. They're 3 games under. You have a tough week against the Braves, then the Braves enter the conversation. So, yeah, they've got to start to hit here, Michael. They really do. But there's been a lot of positives, but it gets to be too positive. Got to start figuring out ways to win games here and start supplying some offense here for this pitching. You just can't wait on DeGrom all the time.
Now, going to be interesting to see what they do in terms of deals. And I thought that what Cohen said the other day, I thought it was really, really smart. He said, I'm not going over the luxury threshold by $1 million. He said, the penalties are too harsh. He said, I'll go over it by $30 million. I'll blow past it. But I'm not going to go just $1 million over. That would be dumb. And he's smart. He gets it. Because most people just think about the luxury tax threshold. Oh, you're cheap. You don't want to go over it. It's not that. No, it's about draft positioning. It's losing drafts. It's losing international signing stuff. The ability to sign guys from other countries. It's punitive. That they don't want you to go over that threshold. It's not about the money because the tax level is not that high. The tax level to a guy like, obviously Stephen Cohen means nothing. But he said, I'm not going over by $1 million. It's dumb. So we'll see exactly what's going to happen in terms of what moves they could make. Again, I look at that team, though, and what are you improving, Don? Who are you taking out, as you would say?
That's a good point.
Conforto's your right fielder. Dom Smith's your left fielder. Nimmo's your center fielder. Your infield's kind of set. I guess you could go with a different third baseman.
That's where you probably could improve. Right?
That would be it.
That would be it. You already got your catcher. You're set at first base. Set at second. Set at short.
Your bench is good.
So, yeah, landlocked's not the word, but you're right. It's like where are you going to – that's really third base. It's where, from an offensive perspective, is where you can improve. Unless you just think, all right, I can improve at center field. I mean, Pilar is what he is. I like him. He's one of my favorite Mets, right? But he's a fourth outfielder. He's doing a good job at center field now because of the Nimmo injury, but he's not a long-term answer unless you wanted to just give up on Nimmo and go out and get yourself a stud center fielder. Would you want to do that?
I guess that's a move you could make, but Nimmo does have some value and maybe right. Maybe you can get a starter. Because we don't know if Syndergaard or Carrasco are coming back. We have no idea.
Not that you can count on, right? And then you could say, oh, they're definitely coming back. We don't know about what setbacks and all that. And listen, Walker's been terrific, but can we count on him being that way the entire year? I hope so. Stroman's been very good. DeGrom has been great, obviously. You figure you're in good shape with DeGrom and Stroman. But, Walker kind of surprised everybody. He said it himself last week. Nobody else wanted him but the Mets. So I'm hoping that he's on his way up and he's going to have a great year. But, you don't want him to have a dip at all. And then, 4-5 is just a mess.
Now, Major League Baseball just announced that Hector Santiago has been suspended 10 games and incurred a fine for use of a foreign substance. Now, Santiago is going to appeal. Now, Lindsay Adler tweets, MLB did not specify if there was any further testing on his glove. Santiago said it was only sweat and rosin. Rosin is the only substance pitchers are allowed to use for grip. Many players have mentioned concerns about an umpire trying to distinguish between sweat and rosin or a different sticky substance in the heat of the moment on field, especially during these sweltering months. Well, did you see any of that, Don and Peter,
yeah,
when they took the glove? Okay.
It was like a CSI.
All right. They took the glove. Then it's handed off to somebody else. Then it's put into like a kind of bag you'd get at Gristiti's. And it's not like wrapped tightly. It's like banging around in a big bag. And then I think they FedEx it back to like New York. Now, if I'm Santiago and I'm the Players Association, the chain of command there, how many people touched that glove that shouldn't have touched that glove? There's no way that would hold up with an arbitrator. I mean, because if Santiago's saying it was sweat and rosin, and all of a sudden something else shows up, he could say, well, who had the glove? What's the chain of command? When, I mean, I saw there's video of the guy putting the glove in this bag, which was done very sloppily, and then it's FedEx. It's not like carried by somebody on a plane. I don't think that this could hold up. I really don't. It's so sloppy. Very weird.
No, the whole thing is weird. Who was it, Michael? I'm trying to look back in my mind. Who was the everyday player that had the pitch and they checked him?
Oh, yeah, it was Maton. Nick Maton of the Phillies.
How about that, Peter?
What's that again?
It was a blowout. A position player in a blowout pitched.
Oh, God.
And they checked his glove at the end of the inning.
It's not
Why?
What
did they check at the end of the Brewers inning yesterday when they scored like 10 runs? Do you guys see that?
That's what's amazing. They're checking pitchers out of getting really hit hard.
I think the Brewers hit 3 home runs in the ninth.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Bad.
Now let's go to the phones.
Shall
Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, let's go to our good buddy Morty. He's called
back.
Morty in Plainview. Morty.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's wonderful to be part of the K Forum today.
Well,
I don't know
where
to begin. I can give you 40 minutes easy, Michael. I was about to throw up on my wife's new carpeting yesterday,
but
I figured that would accomplish nothing.
That's
so
right.
I decided the following. Halloween has come early to the Bronx. We have imposters in Yankee uniforms. Somebody broke into the locker room when they were out of town, passed out uniforms all over the Grand Concourse, and said, men, get to the ballpark early. They'll never know the difference. These guys show up without their head in the game. Their heart is not in the game. They have no guts in the game. And they don't have a couple of things located lower than the guts to play as the Yankees should. They're an embarrassment to have the American League franchise, New York Yankees, playing like this. It's bad enough that Boone can't do a hell of a lot because all he's got is the players to put on the field that Cashman gives him. But there's no imagination. There's no creativeness. There's no nothing. Now, you haven't given us tonight's lineup yet, Michael. Not that it'll make a change, but let me give you my lineup. DJ's going to lead off. Gio's in the number two hole. I want Oder batting third, left-handed bat. Aaron Judge is fourth. I'm stuck with Stanton at fifth, and Sanchez is going to be sixth. After that, it doesn't matter. Gleyber Torres is not playing. He's going to sit until he learns not to swing at pitches that bounce 5 feet in front of the plate. It's disgusting to watch these guys play. And that's where Boone comes in, and I'm not sure he even manages the Yankees anymore. I think there's somebody down in the tunnel getting text messages from Cashman or Steinbrenner or whoever the hell it is and tells him what to do. This is what we're going to do. I saw last night almost a hit and run. Hit and run. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, your solution, Morty, is to play Rougned Odor. He hits under 200.
I don't care what he hits. I got to make a change. Okay? Gleyber Torres cannot hit the ball. He is beaten. He's so discouraged that he can't even walk up to the plate like a guy who's got a shot at hitting the ball, okay? He needs to go down to the minor leagues and get some confidence back because he doesn't belong playing shortstop the way he is right now, period. And if I lose a little bit with Gio at short, so be it. If I lose a little bit with DJ at third, that's the way it's got to be. You got to make some changes with what I got. Where am I going to go for some players now? Nobody's going to give them anything that's worth anything because they have nothing to offer. These
They've got stuff to offer down in the lower minor leagues. People that aren't quite ready, but highly thought of prospects. I mean, they've got. That's what you make trades with. So you can't say they have nothing to offer.
Let me tell you something. I am convinced now, after 78 games, or whatever, that Clint Frazier is not going to make it in New York. He'll be great in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. He has some talent. I don't deny any of it. He's got a very quick bat, but he doesn't know what a strike is. Did you see what he swung out yesterday to strike out? Did you see what Sanchez struck out on yesterday?
Well, I mean, you're jumping Sanchez, Morty. He's been one of the hottest hitters in baseball.
I mean Stanton.
Right, but he also hit a home run, Stanton.
Yeah. I know. He hit it 451 feet. Did we get any extra credit for that? I'll take one 315 feet off the foul pole when I need it. These guys don't deliver anything.
But Morty,
they're absolutely lost.
You can't say they didn't need. That's not fair. I mean, that home run made it 4-3. That's not a nothing home run. That's an unfair comment. I mean, I could let you go on and on and on, but that's unfair. He hits a home run that makes it 4-3, and you don't need it then. It's not his fault the ball traveled to the back of the bullpen and it was a bullet. You take notice of his home runs because he's a special hitter when he hits the ball. So, I mean, Morty is like a lot of Yankee fans. They're upset. And by the way, we have great listeners. I kept saying chain of command. It's chain of custody. Well, so thank you to everybody who noted that. And Brendan McCool said Morty has a little Larry David impression of George Steinbrenner.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I was worried about Morty's call today.
And what'd you think?
It was okay, but I mean,
baseball stinks.
When people come at the problem is he had a little bit of grift today. Did you hear what I'm saying, Don?
No, you think so?
I think he was reading his own press clippings. I mean, he came in with a whole written, prepared monologue with the whole Halloween thing. Just you don't want to get in your own head. Then you're starting to be like the Yankees. Now you're Roof Netto Door. You know, just do what you got to do.
Let's go to Brendan in Cranberry. What's up, Brendan?
Michael, I'm a little concerned, man. You're like sweating profusely. How hot is it in that box?
Well, how hot is it in the city right now?
Oh, 96, 97.
That's what it is in this box. And then add some lights on it, too. There's no air conditioning in this box. So.
Michael, are you going to let this guy get away with saying profusely?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's not a professional broadcaster, so I'm not going to jump him for
Got
that.
It.
But
okay.
If you're watching on Yes, and our ratings on Yes are tremendous. They're terrific, by the way. Keep watching. There's a chance I could keel over and die. And then, if you really, really want to see some fun, when I do the open later on, I have to put a jacket and tie on. That's when it's really going to be kicking.
What time are you doing that?
That's a 7. So usually we tape the open at like 10 to 7. I think that's something you tune into.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that I could do what Bundy did yesterday, right on camera.
I've often heard you say that you want to see dead people.
Yes.
All right.
But this is very comfortable with my ESPN 98.7 polo top. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don looks very comfortable in his basement.
I just don't want to see you sweating profusely.
Why are you going to jump a guy who's not a professional?
By the way, did you let him get to his point? Was that it? That was the whole thing?
Yeah, he wanted to know how hot it was in the booth. And I'll tell you what, it's hot. So am I supposed to sit here and not wipe my forehead and let the perspiration drip onto the mic? No, I'm not somebody who's ashamed to show what it really is here. It's really, really hot. And again, add in the lights and add in the fact that there's no circulation and there's a chance that I can pass away. So keep listening.
Hey, Don.
It would help the show.
The Yes Network could be renamed CNC Music Factory. You know why?
Why
is that?
They're going to make you sweat. Boom. You see what I did there?
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I think it's a crime, Michael. They're going to put you in a suit.
It's not right.
It's 100 degrees. Like you said, players are throwing up on the field, but you look great. That's just stupid.
Listen, it wouldn't be the first time a great company's made a bad decision, but you shouldn't be in a suit.
You don't think so?
No,
well,
I know so.
Yeah, but people that are at much higher pay grade than you think it's really important, so I follow. I've always been a rules follower.
You're a big rule follower. Oh, you're a big rule follower.
Yeah. So, and again, Yankees Angels is something that you should really want to tune into. But this now brings another level of, you know, he could perish.
Right.
And David Cone could perish, too. You should have seen us yesterday sweating through our sport coats.
I'm surprised Cone puts up with it.
Because he's a good teammate.
That's one way of looking at it.
He doesn't know how to swing it around is what you're saying, Don.
Doesn't sound like it. And I
thought he's like Michael.
If Paul was in the stadium, this would all be over.
No. Paul's a rules follower, too.
I think he follows the rules that make sense.
I would. I'm going to text Gary how nice it must feel to do a game in this extraordinary heat while wearing a polo shirt.
What's Gary wearing, a polo?
Oh, yeah, they've worn a polo for the last month. The SNY polo, the famous SNY polo.
As it's known.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should be selling those. They'll go like
Can you imagine?
And Yes makes a nice polo.
They make a great polo. I've got a Yes polo. It's a delight. Maybe I'm going to wear the Yes polo on the radio show tomorrow.
So real quick, too, the tie is necessary also.
Pretty much, yeah. Complete solo.
Not just the sport coat, though.
Well, the tie's not the problem, Peter.
The extra sport coat
is the problem.
Well, hold on. Yes, the sport coat's the biggest problem. But we all know that there's something about having that top button buttoned and the tie not there that certainly makes it hotter. There's
but
no way
around
it. Here's
the deal. I can unbutton the tie immediately when I get off camera because this jacket and tie combo is good for the 11 seconds that I'm on air. Visually.
Oh, so they don't wait, hold on.
They hardly show us during the game.
Why can't they just agree to not show you again and then you can just take it all off?
And sit there and do it nude like Harry Carey used to?
Like it's meant to be done.
Meant to watch games in the nude.
Perform half naked.
Right. Let's take a brief timeout. 1-800-919-3776 because this kind of conversation, Don, that you bring up is going to get me in trouble with the powers that be. I don't need it.
Why? You're not saying anything.
Yeah, but you know what?
You're defending it. And that's what you should do. I can't voice my opinion. You know, I won't have it.
No, you're allowed to voice your opinion, but I'm the one who's going to take the heat. Heat being the operative word.
Well, give him my number. They're good enough to go to voicemail like everybody else.
917.
Everyone knows Don's got to be a 973 guy.
TALKDON.
I will admit that the first three numbers are 973.
See? Don, anything less, and you'd be the world's biggest fraud.
But now you have given they've got a million chances to find out. Well, over 9 million chances to come up with the number.
Go for it. I got a tremendous voicemail you'll enjoy.
Yeah, Don never picks up. 1-800, even tabs. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. And a tie, too, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, you've been waiting for it, and I have it. It's not going to please Morty.
No.
Today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. DJ LeMay, who plays second, leads off, batting second and playing right, Aaron Judge. Gary Sanchez will catch. He'll hit third. Cleaning up the DH, Giancarlo Stanton. Luke Voit at first will bat fifth. Batting sixth. Is the shortstop Gleyber Torres. Batting seventh, third baseman Gio Urshela. The left fielder Miguel Andujar bats eighth, and batting ninth and playing center field, it is Brett Gardner, Brett Gardner. That's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Don will give you the Mets starting lineup a little bit later on.
Yeah, I'm getting beat up by a Met fan. And I didn't do the math, excuse me, that Davis was moved to the 60-day DL, but I think he could still be activated on Saturday. So he's closer to coming back than not.
Right.
I'm a Met fan, and because I don't have an intimate knowledge on every single thing they do, I'm a piece of trash. So I will take that L and tell you that he'll be back on Saturday.
Yeah, you know that.
Or eligible to come off the DL.
That does not make you a piece of trash, Don. But this, what you said in the previous segment, it does. Listen.
Spud Webb shouldn't play in the NFL. No, I meant NBA.
I know what you meant, but that's something that gets you into March Madness.
Spud couldn't play in the NBA either.
Here's the longer version of that.
Spud Webb shouldn't play in the NFL. He was barely as tall as Peter.
Well,
he's dunking the basketball.
In the NFL.
I tried to help, Don. I jumped in there and said, well, he didn't. But
that wasn't – see, Drop Madness will remember it as how Don thought he played in the NFL. What a moron. I think you guys would know that was just a misspeak by me, not realizing I said NFL instead of NBA. But, again, I'm a new person. I'm just going to take the L.
Good for
You're
you.
Right.
Just take the L.
I'll take the L.
Well,
I don't
why do
know
I have
what I'm
to
doing.
Pay all the time when I make a mistake? The reason you get into Drop Madness is you make a mistake.
Right, but there's different ways. Not every mistake is the same. Some mistakes are, boy, Don doesn't really know what league he played in. That's a mistake. Saying NFL instead of NBA is also a mistake.
So con artist doesn't mean I don't know how to speak, but I stumbled on that, and that got me into Drop Madness. So you stumbled and said that Spud Webb's in the NFL. That gets you into Drop Madness.
I'm not arguing that it shouldn't be. It's a shame that might be misinterpreted, but I'll take the L.
Well,
but again, the guy on Twitter who doesn't think, you know, I'm a real Met fan because I don't know everything, he's right. I'm not. I'm a fraud, and I take the L.
But think about it like this, Don. I'm getting crushed because of, you know, what happened last week with the unfortunate Euro incident. And to the world, it sounds like I literally don't know where Brazil is. I studied Portuguese for 4 years in college, went to Brazil, and I thought it was in Europe. That's what the drop sounds like. You can only do what you can do.
That's right. You got to take the L. Now, I defended
believe,
you.
I believe that you believe
you did.
That it's in Europe.
Yeah, that's what you think I believe.
Yeah, I do.
Wow. Oh. You're a bad guy. We've
Come
learned that
to
now.
Me and educate yourself.
Macho man Don LaGreca.
So Zach Wilson's mom is really going to be a lot of fun, I think, the Jet quarterback. I guess their daughter had a wedding. So mom, Lisa, sent a cuss-filled PSA to whoever stole her purse at a wedding she helped plan for the daughter.
Oh, no.
She called everybody, I don't know how to say this, but it starts with a D and ends with an S.
Oh, no.
As much as I wanted to believe that the world was all good, there are apparently these things out there.
Mom. Nobody wants to see their purse get stolen. But Zach's going to have a sit down with his mom.
But how do you do that with your mom?
No, but here's how you do it. It's like, mom, do you love me? Of course I love you, son. You're the world to me. I gave birth to you. Great. Then stop. If you really love me, then stop. If you really care. Because all parents say the same thing, right? I'll do anything for my child. I'd die for my child. Then just stop. It should be an easy thing to do. I'm not asking you to kill yourself. I'm asking you to just stop.
She went on to say,
nobody cares what you have to say. Shut up.
So hope you guys enjoy my Mobetta's food and my DJ and all the fun that I provided for you as you stole my purse and walked out. Screw you.
Well, it's unfortunate.
Now, how would you feel? And this, oh God, I pray that this happens. That somebody then like comes back and says, sorry, I thought it was my purse. I grabbed it by mistake. I'm sorry. That'd be great. Oops. Why does she have to make a public? I've had things stolen from me. You don't have to go. You don't have to do that. You've got
People
a son. That you have a son that is going to be in the NFL, all in the biggest city in North America. All eyes are going to be on this kid. You love him? Shut your mouth.
She also added in this video that some D-words have been ordering DoorDash on my credit card for a month. I don't know, Lisa. Let me help you out. Cancel the credit card.
Exactly.
Babe. It's not really that difficult.
Right.
And why would you let somebody order DoorDash for a month on your credit card?
Do you know how much your son's going to be making soon? All right? So I'm sure it'll all balance itself out. All right?
Guys, I'm telling you right now, it's unfortunate, but the ship has sailed.
What do you mean?
It's gone.
Is this something Mindy would do?
No. It's just that this is going to end with this mom being a disaster. That's just what it's going to be. It's going to be the whole time he's here. What's his face?
LeVar Ball.
I couldn't remember Lonzo and LaMelo's dad. It's going to be worse because LeVar Ball was crazy, but it turned out in the end, guys, he was basically crazy like a fox. And he really did turn these kids into three machines, one of which is one of the best players in basketball. The other one's a really solid player. And then, of course, poor LiAngelo. But this lady's going to be a thing. It's just going to be a thing. So
I just don't get it because, obviously, the family, it seems like a great family. Why wouldn't she see how that's going to adversely affect her son by being this out there on social media?
Because clearly, and this is what's really sad, and I hope I don't become this dad, but I can see how it can happen, is that you end up living vicariously through your child, right? So she probably sees an opportunity to become famous through her son, that people are now really going to pay attention. She's probably been like this her whole life, but nobody ever paid attention to it. And now her son's playing in New York, and it's going to get picked up, it's going to get talked about, and she probably loves it. And that's wrong. Your son has accomplished a tremendous amount, and now you could be hurting him or putting him in a really tough spot. If you really care about your son, lay back. Let him have his moment, all right? Don't use his moment to get your 15 minutes because you're embarrassing him.
I think there's – when you see someone who sort of operates this way, that's what they want to do. They're looking for a moment. I mean, I don't know that they can recognize it as that, like, their son now is bigger than them. And, like, your desire to be in the spotlight, you know, even though you're not a celebrity yourself, comes second. I don't think that they can turn it off.
Michael can get this, and you will one day too. That once you have children, you almost cease to exist in a way.
No.
Everything you do is for them.
That's until it's not. Because you're saying that for you.
But, Peter, every time I go to one of my kids' events, you know, Charlie with Pee-wee baseball, Callie with swimming, I recede into the background. I don't even want to be seen.
But remember,
she's really not receding into the background at all.
Hold on, but you started out famous. I'm sorry, you are. She's not. She wants that, and now he's giving her the doorway to get in. It's the exact opposite. You know, when your parent is a celebrity, they're like, I just want my kid to be normal, and I don't want to take the attention away from my kid. She's been seeking attention, probably, evidence suggests, based on her social media, and now she's going to have more eyeballs. I see this getting worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a brief time out. I've got to literally towel off again. We got a lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff to talk about. We want to talk about it with you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
So you hear some of Peter's great album, Really. So Peter's complained that, you know, there are people that have not put him on shows that he thought would put him on shows. So I've been doing a lot of media for my book, Center Stage, my most fascinating interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. Available at all bookstores now and on Amazon. So I asked the people from Scribner's, you know, they said, well, where do you want to be on? And I said, I want to be on Colin Cowherd's show. And so they come back to me, they go, yeah, they passed. I said, that doesn't seem right. So I contacted Colin. You guys passed. He saw it never even got to me. So I think that's what's happening to Peter. Did Peter just leave us or what?
Doesn't sound like he's with us, Michael.
Yeah, he's not even with us.
The Michael K. Show.
You are a deranged maniac who should be handcuffed and led away and never allowed out.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Good chance he probably missed a rejoin, too.
I heard the entire rejoin. That was the dramatic story that was worth all this hubbub. You've already told we've had that conversation.
But not a specific Colin Cowherd part of it.
Yeah, but then in the end, because you're Michael K, all worked out, and now you're going to go on Cowherd's, all's well that ends well.
But my point is that if there are people, like if places that you wanted to go on, that you should just call that person directly.
Oh, no. Some of them have directly blown me off. Some of them, the host. Maybe that. But some of the, but my album's not unlikable. That's the frustrating part.
It's
their loss.
It is their loss, Don. That's right.
It is.
And what I've been appreciating the smaller outlets that all want to do stuff. I appreciate those people that do work and want to like actually listen to the album and ask great questions. And I'm just grateful for that instead of thinking about the yo-yos who pass on it.
Can I make a declarative statement here? Anybody who wants to like put Paul George on blast, stop yourself. This guy's a stud. He's carrying the Clippers alone. That was an elimination game yesterday. He had a big-time game. Everybody wants to always hate on people. He's not good. He's not good. He's carrying them without Kawhi Leonard.
This should not be a series.
Right, like, and he's making it a series, Peter.
Every game, really?
He's been phenomenal. And all he's gotten is hate.
Well, last night, you could have tuned in the first half and watched for 10 minutes and gone, well, Paul George isn't letting them lose tonight. And that's what the game was last night. At every sort of turn, when you thought Phoenix might make their run and get the crowd into it and finish them, Paul George would say, nope, cross someone up, knock down a three, and just continue to hold them off. It was an impressive performance.
Yeah, he's made it a series, and then they start to think, is this going to be again a denial of Chris Paul getting to the finals? He's never gotten there, so one to watch.
Well, that's a good tease, by the way, for my ENN story, because one of his teammates stepped up and had his back about the trolling of Paul George as well.
Love it. Roster move by the Mets. Their 10th-ranked prospect, Thomas Szapuki, has been recalled for what will be his big league debut if he pitches, and Jared Eichhoff has been designated for assignment. So moves are coming fast and furious. Also, it's time to call out Joe Maddon. Really, Joe? Really? It's 5:05. Still no lineup? Come on.
Enough is enough.
The Yankee lineup's been out for an hour. Really, Joe? They did the same thing yesterday.
He's got to be smarter than the average bear.
I'm telling you, Don, I see it with all the managers that are impressed with themselves. They wait right until the end, and then they'll say, well, I was waiting on injuries. They know exactly who could play for the most part. It's all a game. All a game. Game I'm tired of. Yankees playing the Angels tonight. We know the Yankee lineup. We have no idea what the Angel lineup is, except for Andrew Heaney is going to start. Aaron Boone was asked today, how are you guys trying to fix the offense?
I think that's one of the challenging things, is because you're talking about a group and largely a group that's in the prime of their career that have a pretty strong track record. So you've got to continue to lean into that and believe in that while also trying to uncover or unlock any, pieces, whether it's, what are we seeing, from, some of the high speed things as far as mechanical things, bat speed type things, chase rates, all these kind of things. There's some luck and unluck involved in these things from time to time. So, yeah, I mean, I promise you, we're looking at everything to try and uncover these things and unlock these things. Obviously, it's a different ball this year. All these things are potential minor factors, and that we're trying to, wrap our heads around and make sense of, and where there are adjustments, corrections to be made, try and lean into those, but also continue to trust and believe in the people and what we believe they are and still will be this season.
Let me set off the Yankee fan base right now. I actually feel sorry for Aaron Boone. Now, he doesn't want that, but he's been handed a team that's not performing. Now, you can say, well, he's not motivating them. Listen, if you want to take that route, you can take that route. But this is I've said it over and over again. I'll continue to say it's a roster construction problem. Look at the lineup today. Now, I know they're facing left side. They have 8 righties in a row until Gardner. 8 righties in a row. So what happens when they go to the bullpen and they find that lane that the Yankees always talk about? and you got five righties in a row, LeMahieu, Judge, Sanchez, Stanton, Voit, you're not pinch hitting for them. You're not pinch hitting for Torres. You're not pinch hitting for Urshela. The only guy you probably pinch hit for is Andujar. One move. So if they bring in a righty who's got it going on, you've just neutralized your lineup. So Aaron Boone is the one who's going to take the fall for this. He is. If they don't make the playoffs, he's not going to get rehired. And if they continue to lose like this and they don't sell out ball games, he's going to end up taking the fall. And I don't think it's his fault. Now, is he a little too ooey-gooey with the players? Yeah, I do. I believe that. I sincerely believe that. And if I could actually go into his office, I'd tell him, knock it off. Coddling's not helping. They're not responding to your coddling. No. Go at him like your managers in the past have gone at you.
But they obviously don't want him to do that.
They don't want him to do that. But if you're going to lose your job anyway, Peter, you might as well go down swinging.
I was the first one to say that. When's he going to say enough is enough and just start managing how he manages? But I guess you have to decide when that moment has come.
Well,
and then we also don't know if that's the kind of guy he is.
But I believe that he's managing the way he wants. I really truly believe that. I am totally convinced that he believes in the numbers. He's not doing this to keep his job. He believes in the numbers he's receiving from upstairs. But the ooey-gooey stuff, that's also from upstairs. But, I mean, if you just change it up a little bit and tear into them and start benching people, maybe it works because this isn't working.
Or just, listen, you can only do what you can do, right? Because I don't know if you'll have the power at the end of the day to bench somebody without having to go through all of the conversations with everybody about that. I don't know how the innards of the Yankees work that way. But just hold players accountable. You don't have to rip them. You don't have to tear them a new one. But all the things that he said, he had to disclaimer the whole thing that he said with all the gobbledygook of the numbers and all the analytic words that he used. It's like at the end of the day, you know, we believe that these players are going to turn it around. Why say that? Say they better turn it around. Guys, you're supposed to play to a certain level. At the end of the day, after we analyze all the numbers and after we go over all the conversation, those guys have to hit. They get paid to hit. I expect them to hit. It's on them to hit. I can't grab the bat for them. Brian Cashman can't grab the bat for them. Is that so wrong to say that? We'll help them. We'll work with them. But when it's all said and done, they've got to be the one. They're the one at the plate. They're the one that's got to swing at the ball. Hit it. And any good coach, any good manager, Peter said it earlier, see, football coaches are making excuses. Hey, quarterback's got to play better. Receiver's got to catch the ball. We got to tackle better. We've got to do a better job. You could say we. But at the same time, also say them. Don't coddle them. Don't give them excuses. Don't talk about how we're going to crunch the numbers behind the scenes. This is a game that's played by human beings on the field. Fans don't care about what happens before the game or after the game or all the work that's being done on the computer or in the bullpen or in the dugout or in the batting cage. They care about what happens on the field. And these players have to do a better job. And there's nothing wrong with a manager or coach to say that.
Now, he was asked, do you think the guys are feeling the weight of championship expectations? Here's Boone.
I don't think there's any question the weight is there. I think we all feel it, and that's because guys care, and guys expect a lot, you know, not only outside this building but in that room. We expect a lot of ourselves, and we expect to be a championship-caliber team, and we haven't performed that way to this point. And so there is that weight that comes with it, but that's also, again, one of the separators. You got to be able to handle that when you play Major League Sports, when you play for the New York Yankees, you know. Those expectations are there and they can be heavy at times, but I also feel like because we are still in control of this script going through these moments and these times, if we can dig ourselves out of it and we can come out on the other side, we are better for having gone through it. There's no question in my mind, but we got a long way to go to get to that point, and you have to be able to embrace that.
Well, they do have expectations, but that's part of signing here. That's part of being here. That's what you're expected to do, and if they can't handle it, they're the wrong people for it.
I mean, I almost wanted to hear him channel Jim Mora, right? Playoffs? Can we stop talking about winning a championship and talk about climbing more than two games above 500?
Fair.
I mean, right now, let's win some games, all right? Let's stop talking about the promised land. Let's stop talking about the narrative of winning not a championship, but championships. Can the team put together a solid month of baseball? Can they climb out of fourth place?
I mean, stop it. I understand there's a lot of weight that comes with being a New York Yankee, but right now it's about 2021, and this team is two games above 500 through 78 games. They played marginally above 500 over the last 138 games dating back to last year. So can we stop about the 27 championship? It's the big bad Yankees, and if George Steinbrenner is alive, how about just going out and beating the Angels today? How about that? How about winning a series and then winning the next one? And then climbing out of fourth and getting into third and getting in the second and take the division and start playing baseball where we can actually have a discussion about a championship. Do you think there's another team in any other sport that would be sitting halfway through the season, two games above 500, and have the arrogance to talk about championship?
The thing
Stop it already.
I think is really in the wiring here. And I do believe that this is a problem. These guys carry themselves like they're champs. Now, there's a certain dignity to being a Yankee and, you know, the expectations that come along with it. I get it. But you can't sit back and go, well, things are going to change because we're great and that's just the way it is. It's going to happen. No. The arrogance is not earned right now. The swagger is not deserved right now. You know what time it is right now? It's lunch pail time. Put the hard hat on, carry the lunch pail out, go do your digging, get going. This is not like, oh, it's going to happen. You know, because, hey, look, I keep hearing this every post game. We got great players in there. Really? Where are they? Tell me the great players there. I can tell you the guys that are supposed to be great, and I can tell you guys having good years like Aaron Judge, but we got a championship team in there. No, you don't.
No.
There are two guys with rings, two. One won with your team, and that's Gardner back in 2009, and the other one won with the Cubs. That's Aroldis Chapman. Those are the championships that you've won in that room. Nobody else has it. Nobody else has it, so please stop it. Well, we got champions in that room. Well, then show it.
Yeah, see, this I can understand if this was a conversation sometime in the late 90s, right, when you had a bunch of guys that won a bunch of championships. Even when this team was clicking on all cylinders, winning 203 games in 2 years, Michael, that team didn't even go to the World Series. All right? They have not won a championship since 2009. Think of the baseball teams that have won championships since then. Right? San Francisco Giants have won three since then. Right? How many other just think of all the teams that have won championships. How many have the Red Sox won since 2009? All right, so enough with you don't carry any of those 27 rings mean nothing tonight. You think history means anything? You think the Montreal Canadiens walked into game one last night carrying Ken Dryden and Guy Lafleur with them? No, they were just a team that wasn't as good as Tampa and they lost. That team's got a ton of history. The Dallas Cowboys every year walk onto the field with Roger Staubach and Emmitt Smith. No, they're the Dallas Cowboys, but they're only as good as whatever team they're on the field that given year. All right, there's a lot of history with the New York Yankees, and there's a lot to be prideful about. But right now it's 2021, and they're two games above 500. That's all that matters. That's what's going to win them a game tonight, is playing to the best of your ability. So stop walking around like what the hard-earned work that happened with the New York Yankees for 100 years does anything for you tonight. Means nothing. Zero. Taps, have some pride in yourself and what you are as a ball player. And get it done and carve your own image and make your own greatness. Stop living off everybody from the past. And that goes for the entire organization, Michael. What Brian Cashman did back in the day, so what? So what have you done for me lately? You think you're a genius? Great. Maybe back in 2009. But right now, this fan base expects championships. You expect championships. How about just winning a game? How about being 10 games above 500? Try that.
And you mess around, you want to get your own legacy. Your own legacy is being, we were the team that stunk post-2009. We were the team that disappointed. We had great players and we were disappointment.
Go to the phones. Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. Danny.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I have to say, you guys are spot on with Cashman. I've hated on Boone a little bit. My thing with Boone is that he's not a hard, on them guys. I think he coddles them too easily, lets them off the hook. He's not bashing in and tearing into them like Girardi was. And the other thing I think that people don't take into account, CeCe being not being there is a huge loss for them because he was the enforcer in that locker room. Boone wasn't going to do it, but CeCe would have. And then my second thing, Brian Cashman has to go. One championship since 2009. Quite frankly, most of the players on that team were Gene Michaels. Gene Michaels carried him to 5 World Series rings. And there's too many righties. Frazier's been horrendous. It's been, honestly, it's embarrassing when you have that much resources and you put out a team like this.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things you're saying there. He deserves credit for the championships, too. He was part of that. He was Gene Michaels' assistant. Bob Watson was the GM in 96. You look at some of the moves that Brian Cashman made, you can't tell me that he wasn't responsible. He made the trade for Scott Brosius. He was the MVP in 98. He brought in David Justice. He helped them win a championship. So stop. To say they had nothing to do with that's wrong. Listen, if you want to blame him for this, you could blame him for this. But don't diminish what he's done. That's not right. He's a great GM.
All right, but
he's a great GM, and sometimes great players have bad years. Like Joe Torre said, I hit 365 and won the MVP one year, and the next year I hit 259. I'm the same player. I tried just as hard. Sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes it doesn't work. But to say it had nothing to do with those championships, you're wrong. That's disingenuous.
Both things can be right. That he's a great general manager, accomplished a lot. But there's been a lot of great guys, Michael, that it ends. I mean, you can't rule that out. Again, I'm not going to say that he has to be fired. But, I don't. How long do you live off a legacy? I remember that was the Dave Checkets line to when Messier left for Vancouver. How much more do I have to pay for that championship? It's like at some point you've got to grate on what you are right now. Yeah, there's a lot of championships and a lot of great moves, and you can make the case that Brian Cashman could be in the Hall of Fame one day for everything he has accomplished as a general manager. But that doesn't mean that you could have what's happening here, it be a failure, and you get to continue to move on as general manager based on what you did 10 years ago.
And by the way, for all the haters, he is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But Hall of Famers lose their job, Michael.
Yep.
Right? I mean, Joe Torre essentially lost his job. Joe Torre was a Hall of Fame manager because of what he accomplished with the Yankees, right?
Well,
and
Brian
he essentially was not brought back. His contract ran out, but they decided to go in a different direction despite 4 championships in 5 years. Because they got to the point where, like, all right, now it's over. And now we're going to move on. Doesn't mean that he wasn't great, but it was time.
Lindsay Adler is tweeting out, Brian Cashman speaking right now, and the first thing Brian said, I've got to call it like I see it. It's pretty bad right now. It is. It is pretty bad right now. There's no other way to put it. Let's go to Joe in Connecticut. Joe?
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Let me make just 2 points on the Yankees. The first one is, you guys are hitting on it around the character. They have stars, but are they stars without character? If you go back, and I think you mentioned yesterday, one of you guys mentioned about special players. And, yeah, Jeter and Mariano were special. But besides those two guys, the Yankees in the 90s and 2000s had guys that were gamers. Guys that gritted it out. They played hurt. They were consistent. They were clutch. The Paul O'Neills. These aren't Hall of Famers, O'Neill, Tino, Posada, even Bernie, and even A-Rod. For 8 years, A-Rod had put up MVP numbers and played 159 games a year without complaining he was hurt, right? Even A-Rod was a gamer during the regular season, at least. He was a gamer. They don't have any gamers. Maybe LeMayo. I wouldn't even call Judge a gamer because he can't be on the field every day. Maybe LeMayo comes into that category.
Well, that's not true, Joe.
Otherwise,
Judge has been on the field more than any player this year. So I'm this not just year. Saying the past, but this
yeah,
year.
Okay.
He's...
Okay, I'll put him.
Well, I think that
is,
Gardner's a gamer, but I don't know if his skills allow it anymore. Yeah. But he's a gamer. But one thing that always makes me uncomfortable: you're comparing this Yankee team to one of the greatest teams ever assembled. That's a hard thing to live up to. I mean, Andy Pettit, if he didn't get involved with the performance-enhancing drugs, he's in the Hall of Fame. Bernie Williams is borderline. He's not going to get there, but he's borderline. Posada, borderline. Right. He's not going to get there, but these were great players. Don't just say they were like lunch pail, like, grinders. They were great, great players with a lot of talent.
Well, Michael, maybe the Yankee fans are comparing them to the 4 championships in 5 years. But right now, can you beat the Rays? How about just trying to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat? Forget about trying to be the Yankees of the 90s. Just be the Rays. Be the Red Sox. Be the Dodgers or the Padres. Right? I mean, aren't they capable of doing that? How many Rays right now are going to the Hall of Fame?
Now,
right?
Brian Cashman was asked about the potential of the Yankees being sellers at the trade deadline. Quote, if we fall like a stone, then we have to regroup and reassess. Now, Lindsay Adler writes, Cashman said he doesn't have a threshold in mind for what would qualify as falling like a stone. Whew.
Well, you got a month, right? July 30th. Today's June 29th. You got a month. So what do you do, Michael, if they're right in the same position a month from now? 7.5 games out of first place. I don't know how many out of the wild card. 2 games, 3 games above 500. Are you a buyer or a seller?
It's a tough call.
Because let's face it, they're not going to sink like a stone.
Well, they keep playing like this, they will.
Well, but they don't. That's the tease,
but
right?
Here's the problem, Don. You take a look at their schedule over the next 3 weeks, it's tough. We're going to really see what they're made of. They'll know.
They got a West Coast trip coming, right?
Yeah. But then they also play the Red Sox a lot. It's not going to be easy.
No, but Michael, I don't envision them being 10 games under 500. They're going to – listen, right now it's bad, just like it was the last time they were 3 games over, and then they won 8 of 10. This team will do it again. Now, I don't know if they'll ever be in first place or a playoff team, but I think they tease you. Listen, I'm not trying to be overly optimistic here. We've been killing them for the last couple of days, and deservedly so, but do you think that this is going to be a team that's going to fall, like, significantly under 500?
No.
No, but, and maybe that's a problem because that's the thing. They'll tease you and make you think that they should be buyers instead of sellers and never really get there. This is not a championship team by any stretch, but do I see them being 15 games out a month from now and having to be sellers? No. I think they're going to be what they are all season, and that's why I asked the question. July 30th, 2 games above 500, 7.5 games out of first. Are they buyers or sellers?
That's when they have to make the hard call because if you remember, Don, when they were sellers in, what was it, 2016, they weren't really out of it, but they sat down and said, you know what, we're not good enough. They have to make that decision. It's tough.
Yeah, now, right now, wild card-wise, they are 6 out. 6 out of the first wild card, but it's essentially the same thing because the A's are just a half game back of the Rays. So, that's the question. If you're 6 out of a playoff spot, then that now you're talking, because by a month from now, Michael, what? You're going to be like 110 games into the season. I think at that point, I would have to pull the plug.
But really, if you're being honest with them, it's really they should be sellers now. For what this team was expected to be, you think that you can have a reasonable shot at going on a run to win it all?
Not to win it all, but, you know, we've been preaching this forever. You don't discount making the playoffs. If they can make the playoffs, make the playoffs.
You don't. There's no reason, Peter, unless somebody blows you away with an offer that will not be there a month from now, there's no reason why you can't use this month to see where you're at.
All right, when we get back, we're going to hear from Luis Rojas, the Met manager, about Conforto and McNeil's struggles since coming off the IL. Also take more of your phone calls. We have the big fella at 5:45 and then ENN as well. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.